to fax Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye, dial area code 702-727-8499. That's area code 702-727-8499. Please limit faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is. Good morning, everybody. We're about to do something that may offend you. We're going to have a real witch on. Or maybe you'll say she isn't a real witch. Maybe you'll say she's a devil worshiper. I don't know. We'll find out. But if this sort of thing offends you, tune out now. This is your absolute warning. Tune out now. Otherwise, hang tight, and we'll all learn something together, I suspect. And we've got several announcements coming up. Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, I am going to do the only book signing I'm ever going to do for The Quickening. It's going to be in Encinitas. Encinitas. Every now and then I say another city by mistake. Escondido. It's not Escondido. It's Encinitas. And it's going to be at Barnes & Noble in Encinitas at 1040 North El Camino Real. Now, it is a brand new bookstore, so fear not if you have checked a map, which some people have, and haven't found it. Be assured, it is indeed there, and one of the largest Barnes & Noble bookstores in all of California. So, there it is at 1040 North El Camino Real. There I will be at 10 a.m. sharp on Saturday morning. My suggestion is to be there early. Now, I will sign books for no less than 10 hours. They will then put my hand, possibly my entire arm, in a cast and carry me away. But for 10 hours, I will definitely personally sign books. Now, the reason this may be important is because it is the only time I am ever going to do it. All right. Just before we go to our witch question mark, we're going to Denver very quickly for an announcement from Tim Cannon. Now, Tim Cannon, I think, is there have been elections in the Art Bell Chat Club organization, and Tim is now some sort of international. What are you, Tim?
International coordinator, Art, and the founder of the Art Bell Chat Club.
Well, of course, the founder, but I wasn't quite sure of what the international title was, and we are international now because I know we've got a chat club in London.
That's correct.
And that's good because we may soon be heard in London. Anyway, what's going on with the chat clubs?
Well, lots of things. We're looking at some spots up in Canada, and I've been working closely with Keith Rowland, and Keith is going to be putting, I imagine it's already up by now, the information about all the chat clubs, their locations, the coordinators for each chat club, along with a phone number in that area that they can, that listeners can contact their coordinator and find out when the next meetings are going to be.
Okay. Is there a phone number, a general phone number now for those who want to either coordinate or start chat clubs?
Sure. We've got a number here in Denver. We'll get back to you on that. That's 303 area code.
Right.
767. 1778.
1778.
And we'll have someone return your call. And I want to take just a minute to thank Bob and Sue Crane, who's been really great sponsors of the chat club and supportive, Alan Corbett and David Masters up at the network, and of course yourself and Keith Rowland, who's worked very closely. We're celebrating here in the next week our first year anniversary of the first chat club here in Denver, which meets at the Rising Phoenix Bookstore twice a month. And some of the guests that we've had, for those new listeners who are not familiar with what we do, basically we try to bring on lots of the guests that you've had on the show in person, and they come in and speak to us, and you have the opportunity to meet those guests and ask questions and listen to their presentation. We've had David John Oates, of course, Jose Escamilla, Ron Russell, Victoria Lillenquist, Alan Meese, Joyce Riley, along with many others. Keith Rowland is scheduled at our Phoenix Club here real soon, so if you'd like to get out and meet Keith, you need to contact the Phoenix Club, and get the information about
Keith. Keith is going to be a guest at the Phoenix Club.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha.
That'll be terrific. But
I'd like to go down and see that myself.
You'd like to see that yourself, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we do have a chat club in Las Vegas, and of course, Los Angeles, Portland, Denver, all over the country now. And we're real proud of the first one that sprang up here in Denver at the Rising Phoenix. And tonight we've all gathered listening to this show. The first hour was great with Michael Holm and celebrating the 24th birthday of Curtis Miller, one of our chat club members and a great fan of yours. And so they've kept the bookstore open a little late so we can all gather and have a great time.
Well, Saturday is going to be my day at a bookstore.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was at the last one, and if it's going to be anything like the book signing up in Portland, it's going to be quite an event.
Yes, it should be something. Well, listen, my friend, let me get the number out again for anybody interested in forming a chat club or finding out, I guess, about the activities of the one in your area.
Okay.
It's area code
303-767-1778. And we're all waiting for the witch, Art.
Well, your wait is over.
Okay.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Art.
Bye-bye. That's Tim Cannon in Denver. Now, I have been getting faxes and email all day long from people saying, don't do it, Art. Don't do it. Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. They've even been sending faxes to Ramona saying, don't let Art do it. I got a fax, which I will read, minus any identifying information. Hi, Mr. Bell. I am 32 years old. My cover name is Harlot. I am a witch of the most unholy kind. I am by no means a goddess. I use no crystal balls, tricks, nor treats. I am from a long line of witches and warlocks and so on. If you'd like to call me, she supplies the number. The Coven of the Unholy, hail Satan. Now let me say, Art, I am a good witch by no means. Even if I do something that someone would consider good, I do with evil in my heart. Hail Satan. Well, you guys know me. I will put anything on the air. And that includes Malachi Martin, Catholic priests, people of the cloth, people of the church, and people not of the church, and many things in between. So here is Harlot. Harlot, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Art.
How did you get your name Harlot?
I got my name Harlot because of how I live and what I do. I go around and I spread webs of deceit, and I adore myself in a very alluring fashion when I do these things. And I take great pleasure in finding a victim, laying my evil eyes upon him and bringing him into sinful joy. And if you go back into your scriptures and search them out, and especially in the Old Testament, a woman of my type would be called a harlot. And I take that strictly out of reference from biblical terms.
Okay. This fax, of course, shocked me and shocked a lot of people. A lot of people who have contacted me, Harlot, tell me you couldn't possibly be a witch.
I'm not surprised. I knew that that would be one of the first reactions. When I sent the fax, what should I say, when my fiancé sent the fax, you know, for many years it has been publicized in different newsletters and through television and through the media itself about what a witch is. If you search these things out, you will find out that even in the most medieval times, mm-hmm, that witches were of a more of an evil nature. We took great pleasure in setting great traps and being diverse, a very diverse heart, placing ourselves in a position to be looked upon as Satan followers. But what we do practice the art of witchcraft. What I am are is a satanic third and well, fourth generation birth witch. I am practicing an art and a faith that has been passed down through my family for generations. And all I can say to them is, if they don't think I'm a witch, well, that's their prerogative, and, you know, so be it.
Well, those who practice what's called Wicca are the first to step forward and say, based on what you wrote here, you're certainly not a witch. And, and what do you say about the Wiccans?
Well, I'm not surprised. I have encountered many of them here where I live. I have encountered them over the span of my years. Even when I was a young child, I have pretty much been from coast to coast. I haven't made it from border to border yet. I'm one border minus, but I'm going to get there soon. And I've encountered them everywhere. And the thing that I find interesting about it is that once the topics have come up and once it becomes an open discussion, I'm always left standing alone. And I always get these little word-of-mouth things coming back from them, passed to this person, and so on and so on. But it seems to me I can't find one that's...
Call toll-free 1-800-618-8255.
Which?
Okay, I just hit the button because you used your first name.
I don't care anymore.
Oh, you don't care?
I don't care anymore.
You don't care?
I don't care. You can use my first name.
Really? All right.
Go with it.
I bleeped it, so let's unbleep it. Your name is Patsy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, boy, you're really sticking your neck out here.
There's Wiccans listening to the station right now, no more than about 8 blocks from where I live, and I'm tired of it, and they know who it is now. And they have an opportunity, and I welcome the opportunity. I am not going to bicker. I will not get into a rambling discussion about irrelevant things. I want to discuss...
Okay.
That's relevancy here.
All right, we'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want to say what city you're in?
Yes, I'm in Salt Lake City, Utah. I am exactly 2 blocks from the Mormon LDS Temple.
Oh, my gosh. What, pray tell, are you doing there? In Salt Lake, that is.
Well, I came here, first of all, Art. I came here right about the latter part of 1989. I came here with a purpose, and that purpose was to deceive and to lead astray as many as I could. And I have for years, even through my childhood, reacted very strongly between issues considering God, heaven, Satan, hell. I am a full-fledged, totally devoted individual, a woman who serves Satan in her heart, and I take no, absolutely no regard for people's lives when it comes to me handing them pretty much on a silver platter straight to Satan and take them straight to hell.
Good Lord. there is a God, Harlot?
Art, I believe in the existence of an almighty God. Now, there is a difference between belief and acceptance. I do not accept God, the Almighty, as my God, or a God I worship, or whom I have chosen to lead my life.
So you believe, in other words, you believe in the existence of God, you simply don't accept him. The one you worship is the devil.
Right. I believe in the existence of God, but I deny him in my life, and I deny him to have any part of my life.
I have never met or talked with anybody who said what you just said. I've never. You're the first one, Harlot. Do you think there are many people like yourself?
Art, I know dozens. They are secretly motivating. We are a movement, and it is not just here. It is nationwide, worldwide. We proclaim and uphold all evil. We uphold Satan. We are children of the devil. And I want to touch on something here in a moment because I know what kind of reaction that just caused in people out there throughout America and other places.
Oh, yes.
We have a purpose. And that purpose is waiting for the time of the apocalypse, waiting for the time of the basic beginning of the end, during which that time when that time occurs, we will raise our ugly heads more notably, more publicly, bent on one thing, and that is establishing our rule on this planet.
The rule of Satan, the rule of...
Yes, sir.
Who is Satan, Harlot?
Satan is, was one of the greatest of all angels in the kingdom of heaven at that time. Oh, son of the morning, if you will. Beauty,
mm-hmm.
vast intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Satan, in our minds, and we're not afraid to say this, and we're not afraid of what God's going to do. What God does is what God does. We believe that the reason Satan was punished was because of the simple fact he had awakened himself to God's plan. If you go through your scriptures and you find out in the beginning with Adam and Eve and so forth and so on, their eyes were pretty much closed, only opened to what God wanted them to see at that point and at that time. Satan decided that that was not right. Why close the eyes of human beings? Why not let the human race know good and evil? Let the human race begin to gain knowledge
okay.
of all things.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sure. There's good and there's evil.
Mm-hmm.
But why would anybody... and I can only ask you because you're the only one here. Why would anybody, knowing the difference and understanding the difference between good and evil, choose evil?
Well, Art, it was basically something that was chosen for me from birth. I had a very odd mark on my body when I was born. My mother at that time was very suspicious of the mark that was in a place that, well, we're not going to go there.
Okay.
Very feminine place, okay?
Okay.
And it bothered quite a few people. That mark began to slowly disappear as I grow older. I still have it, but not in the fulfillment of that it was at birth. And my grandmother, which is my mother's mother, had known for a long time. I think the reason my mother couldn't, was really disturbed by it because I don't really believe that she could understand the concept, and which is going to lead into something very interesting that I would like to share, and that's how this got into my family blood to begin with.
And how long ago?
Long time ago. We're talking way, way back. Way back. And it was due to the simple fact that of starvation and different things. And I'd like to touch on that in a little while, but first, Art, Satan, in our eyes, is the primordial son of God. We accept Satan as the son of God. Jesus was a great person in his own right, and so forth. And within the Christian faith, the Savior, the Messiah, and so on.
Yes.
We do not recognize Jesus as being the outright Messiah. We do not. We recognize Jesus as more of a prophet, a healer, someone of great knowledge, and if you will, another virtual son of God serving another purpose.
And then so Satan is the one that you regard as the legitimate son of God.
In my opinion, yes, he is my God, he is my Savior, he is my way, he is my truth. Hail Satan.
Okay, hold it right there. My guest is Harlot. She says she is a witch, the coven of the unholy. And I think she means every word she says. We will, of course, get the lines open. And as you can tell, this is going to be a rather interesting evening. In a way, it's kind of like interviewing Charlie Manson. We'll be right back.
To talk with Art Bell on Coast to Coast AM from outside the U.S., first dial your access numbers to the USA, then dial 1-800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
And once again, here I am. My guest is Patsy, otherwise known as Harlot. She wasn't going to give her name, and suddenly at the last moment she's decided, I guess, to hell with it. She's going to use her name. This is going to be very interesting, and I'm going to tread fairly cautiously here. And I said going into the break that it was kind of like interviewing a female version of Charlie Manson. Charlie Manson, I recall seeing interviewed in jail, and I thought Charlie Manson was the antithesis of evil, and virtually said so in the interview. And you could feel it. You could just feel it when you listened to Charlie Manson. And as I listen to Harlot, or Patsy, I feel the same thing, don't you? And for some reason, I want to try to understand it, if I can. We'll see. All right. Harlot, welcome back.
Thank you.
Harlot, have you ever seen Charlie Manson?
Oh, Art, I respect Charles Manson about as much as I can go right now and pick him up and throw him through a wall. What we are prepared to do is going to make Charles Manson look like a Sunday school revival teacher.
Really?
But let me explain something first. It must be in the correct time frame. I'm talking very spiritual here. I'm not talking about just because there's a riot or if someone says something or does something. We're waiting for basically the book of Revelations to begin to
unfold
in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I appreciate you, sir. I mean, when I first tuned into your show, and I remember well when you began talking and you began talking about things that you call the quickening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how right you are. Oh,
mm-hmm.
How right you are.
Yes.
We're waiting for the fulfillment of that quickening, if you will. We call it the beginning and the coming of the apocalypse, the beginning of the end that is to come. We do not go out and do different things. There's no one in my coven that even uses a hallucinogenic drug. We do not allow it. There are no narcotics. No alcohol abuse allowed within the walls of this coven. Even in the private sect and the private activities with the members of this coven, we do not authorize the use or sell or take part in any of that period. Absolutely not. It's not a part of our purpose. We are part of a grand purpose that is a very spiritual, if you will. Art, we have to have justification. We don't just go out and create chaos without cause. When someone gives us, or gives me, let's talk about me,
right,
that reason, I will resort to whatever means necessary to obtain my vital existence. Our own individual vital existences is what means most to us. If we are dead, or if we are strung out, if you will, how then can we
mm-hmm.
be vital to Satan's conspiracy? We are a part of the conspiracy that's going on in this world created by the hands of the devil. And we are going to do everything where we are hell-bent and hell-bound to uphold that conspiracy.
What is hell?
Hell is an eternal torment. It's an eternal damnation. And we freely accept the punishment, therefore, thereof. You see, even when I do a curse and I attack someone through a supernatural way, I don't use spirits. I don't use in-between creatures, if you will, to do my dirty work. I do my dirty work. And I alone take full responsibility of all my evil deeds and doings.
Well, it really goes beyond that. According to Wiccans that I've interviewed, when you put a curse on somebody or you do something evil to somebody else, it comes back to you times 3 or 10 or whatever.
It can come back 50 times and I will find great pleasure in it. As long as my enemy is destroyed, I will find great pleasure in it.
Knowing that you are bound for hell, and I presume that you accept that or even embrace the fact that you are going to hell, is that correct?
Oh, I absolutely freely accept that fact. And I have no remorse in it. None whatsoever.
You describe hell as eternal damnation.
Mm-hmm.
How can you possibly... If I want to try to understand the psychology, how can you possibly look forward to that?
Well, it's not like I sit here in my house and say, okay, I'm ready, let's go. It's not that I'm like, okay, I'm going to dive into it. We take it from this. I choose to live by my human nature. And if my human nature is an abomination unto God, if I choose to live what... In a biblical sense, would be termed sinful, and if I live a sinful life, then I go to hell. Well, I would rather go to hell with honor than go to hell out of ignorance. And I'm going to go straight to that bottomless pit. And when that key and what is done and what happens...
I'm not sure that people go to hell out of ignorance. If they commit a sin and they're ignorant of the fact that they're committing that sin, there's no intentional evil, then in my way of thinking about things, they wouldn't go to hell.
Well, the scripture, and I'm not going to start quoting, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to bring out how I use scripture and how this coven does in a little while. Ignorance. People will ignorantly go to hell. See, Satan... Our wonderful master is the prince of all evil, all trickery, deception. There's none greater. He will virtually make a person believe that they are worshiping God and living a right life, and in the essence, they never even know the eternal plan that God has laid out. That's one of our missions. See, I take great joy when someone tells me that they believe in God, but they don't live a godly life. Mm-hmm. I take great joy in seeing people like that.
There are many.
That's what I mean. There are people out there out of ignorance and lack of knowledge of the Word of God, of His Word. They lack the knowledge of it. They think, okay, I'm going to live a great life. And, you know, that's fine if they choose that because I welcome it. You know, they say, I live a good life. I'm a just human being. I do different things and do different things. But, ooh, the one God chose to be His Savior, did He not say, for many shall come unto me in that day, saying, did I or did I not, or did I do these things in thy name? Haven't I done all these great works in thy name? Haven't not I believed in you? And He shall say unto them, leave me, you worker of lawlessness and iniquity, for I have never knew you. Oh, yes, many shall go to hell out of ignorance.
You'll go there... with a full understanding of why you're making the trip.
Yes, sir. It's like this. When I was a child, Art, I remember the first time my family pretty much knew what I was going to do.
Let's do that. How did all of this manifest? How early did you know?
I knew the first time, I believe I was 7 or 8, that there was something awfully different about me. I was a child who, when I lived on a farm and I worked very hard, our family had a very large farm and different, you know, aspects of that. I knew there was something wrong. I was a child that when I would go out and work in the fields and I would help my parents in different things, I despised sunlight. It wasn't so much because of the heat, it was what it was doing to me. I began to, as a child, without even having full knowledge of scripture, look up at the sky and curse God for having the sun so bright. I would seek shade. I would seek to lurk in shadows. I was a child that my parents could never keep me asleep at night. I would sleep in the daytime just wonderfully, and as soon as the sun began to set, I began to awaken and cause much chaos and havoc in my home. I remember the first time that I actually did what I consider my first experience with witchcraft. I had, living in the country area where I lived in Alabama at the time, and living in that part of the world at the time, I had no exposure to a lot of magazines or a lot of different things from the outside that area, that small area, very desolate part of the state and different things. I remember just all of a sudden I walked outside and I walked into this nice, beautiful sand pit that I always played in, and all of a sudden it was like a shadow came over me, and I got up and I grabbed the stick. I'd never seen one. I'm serious, sir. I had never seen one. And I drew a complete circle. I put a pentagram in it. It's the face of the Goat of Mendez and everything, and I began to walk around that. All of a sudden, I sit right in the middle of it, and I closed my eyes, and I envisioned things that was going on with my father that day. I ran back into the house and told my mother that my father would be arriving late, and he had some business to tend to and different things to go on downtown, way down the road, believe me, and that he would be late concerning issues concerning what he was doing at the time with the farm and different aspects of business. Well, my mom looked at me kind of, did you talk to your dad before he went to work? This was the summertime. I wasn't in school. And I said, no, Mom, I haven't seen Dad since last night when he hugged me and ran out to the supper table to go to bed. Well, my dad got home at pretty much the exact time that I had told my mother. And me and my brother and sister were sitting at the dinner table. And I heard my mom ask my father about these things. And my dad told her, that is impossible. How did you know? He didn't even call. She said, Patsy came in here and told me. Well, it got quiet in the kitchen. Well, I found myself 2 days later getting my bags packed and sent off to my grandmother's house.
And this was at what age?
13 at this time.
13?
Right, I was 13 at this time, right.
And this was only because you had predicted your dad would be home late?
Yes, sir. I got sent to my grandmother's house, and then that's when she came out and had an old photo album and a lot of letters and a lot of things that were written a long time ago. And that's when I first discovered the bloodline in my family relating to being satanic and being a witch.
What was there in your bloodline? What is the history of your family?
Oh, very evil and very brutal. There was a member of my family that was a warlock way back. And there are some things, Art, I don't want to get too in-depth in for the protection of a lot of people that my family tree has affected. Can you understand that, sir?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. It all began way, way back, and I'm not going to go with an actual date. I'm just not going to do it. We had a segment of our family off of my mother's side that were pioneers, if you will, in their own right. They traveled a lot and different things, and it came to a point in time where things were just not going so well. They were running out of food and different things, and
yeah, you mentioned starvation.
Right. They came to a point to where it was virtually death was beginning as illnesses were beginning to set in. One of the members of the family, who shall remain nameless, because it would give away directly into the family tree, and I'm not going to do that, sought help from God. Well, things got worser. And as the days, and there was approximately 10 days here in a period, they began to look at each other, if you will, with eyes of, well, we're getting to the point to where survival is a necessity. We must live to carry on this bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
One of the members decided the hell with it and called upon the devil. As it was written and told to me that there was a deal cut out with an individual who encountered my family, proclaiming the devil this individual was a very mysterious person, from what we understand. They virtually, in pure blood, made an agreement that if they would continue and to bring forth a bloodline of witches and warlocks and so on and so on, that Satan would provide them with their needs. Well, the family is here. No one starved to death. Everybody began to flourish, make money. A lot of people in our bloodline became wealthy. A lot of us became very well-known and were very active in different political areas back in that area of the country at that time, even resulting even up to now.
Very interesting. I have interviewed, if you've been a listener to the program,
yes,
you know I've interviewed Malachi Martin, a Catholic priest. Advisor to popes way up in the Catholic Church. He talks of people who are perfectly possessed. People who are wealthy, powerful, politicians, people who are very well-to-do, who are simply perfectly possessed, who have, in effect, made their own pact with the devil.
Yes, sir, that's absolutely 100% correct. You see, when one becomes into the realm of our most unholy and great master, one must become to the realization of the conspiracy of the devil. You see, we conspire to gain vengeance for our master being cast out of heaven. There is no forgiveness of any kind. There is no mercy in our faith. Our master seeks to have victory over God, and by that meaning his people, to wreak chaos, to create havoc, destruction, violence on this planet, to take many as he can away from the arms of God, away from God's kingdom. That is our purpose. Our main goal is not to play, okay, incantation this, spell this. Yes, we do those. And believe you me, when you do it from a satanic point of view, oh, these Wiccans could only understand if they only knew. That's why I'll challenge them. I'll give my address right now, and you can send 1,000 to my back door.
No, don't give your address.
I know, but I wouldn't mind if 1,000 of them showed up at my back door right now. It would give me great pleasure, great pleasure in that. When one begins to understand what the main purpose and the main goal is, a sense of reality begins to surface its ugly head. And the reality is simply war. We war against the holy and God. As God's people, war to obtain peace and to uphold that which God has set on this world, the foundation that God has built, that they must uphold it, for we must uphold our end of the almighty plan.
What is the plan of Satan? What does he want of this world? Does he want this world to be?
His kingdom. His virtual world. His heaven, if you will. You see, vital existence, Mr. Bell, is so important. And to be vitally existing on this planet means that this planet must become vital. And which is leading me into something here that, is really going to set the fires a burning. We do not, and I repeat, we are the ones who do not pollute this earth. Through governments and through the foundations that have been set, it seems almost like today that unless a political person who's wanting to get up into the hierarchy of politics and government control, if you will, almost seems to have a Christian background of one way or the other. Some a morally correct, godly point of view, if you will.
All right, Harlot, we're at the top of the hour. Hold on. You've got a good long rest here, and we'll be right back. And when we do come back, I think I'm going to be tempted, perhaps bad choice of words, to ask how many of our politicians have made their pact. She'd be the one to know.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Betty Davis eyes. And she'll tease you.